September, let me find it here, 26th through the 30th is our annual Faith Promise Missions Conference, Wednesday to Sunday. Make plans to be here and be praying about what God would want you to give and to support our missionaries, and just be praying for the conference. But on the 26th through the 30th is our missions conference. Be ready for that, and we see our flags up, and just a reminder of all who need the Lord. And as Pastor said, we have missionaries serving most of these countries, and what a blessing it is. God blesses missions, and so be in prayer for that, and be here this Wednesday. But Brother Jamie, I'm going to ask you to come on up and share God's word with us. Glad to have you back, brother. And be praying for Jamie during this time. Good to have you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, good morning. That was pretty weak right there, I'll tell you. Good morning. There we go. Yeah. It's all right to have a little fun in church, isn't it?
Amen.
All right. Well, I want to thank y'all for having us back. It is a delight. There is such a sweet spirit in this church that it is a joy to be here. From the time we walk in the door, we feel welcome. And you know, you've visited other places before. It's not that way everywhere. And so I want to tell y'all have a sweet, sweet spirit here, and we always enjoy coming. I have a skeleton crew this morning of my family. I'm going to embarrass the ones that are here, of course. But I have a skeleton crew. My wife has been sick for most of the week, so about 3-4 days. She's had that stomach flu or whatever that is. And so she thought she was going to maybe be able to make it, but in the middle of the night it hit her again, and so she's not here with us today. But I've got my oldest daughter, Casey. Say hi, Casey. There she is. Casey is a sophomore at AUM. She's in nursing school or working towards getting into nursing school. She'll start next year. Nursing school portion, and I've got Dalton with. He's my 14-year-old. I about said 12. The 12-year-old's sitting over here in the middle. Say hi, Vansy.
Hi.
There we go. Yep. So now I have sufficiently embarrassed. We left Noah at home to take care of Mama in case she needed anything. So we left one at the house with Mama. So, but really, we sure do appreciate being here, and thank y'all for having us. Pastor Rick told me to make sure this was important. He didn't ask me what I was speaking on. He said, make sure that you have them out by 1 o'clock. I said, yes, sir, no problem. So I said, absolutely, I'll do that. Maybe that's not what he said. But yeah, Eastern. Oh, Eastern it was. That's what it was. He's mixed up on his time zone is what it was, see. He's been on Alaska time, and so he, whatever time it is out there, right, it's 2 or 3 hours behind us. So, but I understand that he is in port, or they're about to get off the boat at some point. Maybe this morning they already have, and then he'll be flying back, a pretty good long flight, and then have to drive back to it from Atlanta. So I heard it was going to be about 11 o'clock when they got in tonight. So y'all definitely be in prayer for them, traveling mercies. I do a lot of flying for work, and it seems like that not a trip goes by that I am not delayed or have to change planes or something like that. So y'all be in prayer that their flight and everything goes smooth so he can fulfill his obligation to the bus in the morning, I guess is why he had to be back so quickly. But I told you we have a little bit of a skeleton crew this morning on my family, so we sort of have a little bit of a mess, and right, so this morning it feeds right into the message, and that's how God does things, but it feeds right into the message. I want to talk to you today about how our messes can turn into our message. Our messes can turn into our message. You know, if you split that word apart, mess and age, message, we all have messes, don't we? I mean, we could talk about our messes all day long. I mean, we could stay here until tonight talking about our messes. We could send someone for pizza. And everybody we could all talk about our messes. But God will allow us to have things that happen in our life so that we can have a message to share with someone else that is hurting. And I really believe that. I believe there's things that we go through in our lives that God will allow us to go through so that we can have a message to share. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning, and then we'll get started. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I'm thankful for this church and the sweet spirit that they have. And God, I'm thankful to be able to be here today. Lord, I just pray you'd let me step out of the way, that you'd speak through me. Let them see the cross of Jesus. Lord, we'll give you praise and honor and glory for everything that's said and done here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, there's people that are hurting. There's people in this church right here that are hurting. There's people that you know that are hurting. There was prayer requests in the men's prayer time this morning. There was prayer requests in Sunday school. I'm sure that every Sunday school had prayer requests that dealt with people that are hurting. You know people that are battling with cancer. You know people that are battling with different diseases. There's relationship troubles. There's marriage troubles. There's raising teenager troubles. Amen? That's a tough one right there, let me tell you. I'm in uncharted waters, I feel like. I know some of y'all are like, just wait. But, you know, as you start to go through those things, right, those are trying times. And sometimes it's a mess, right? There's people that have lost their jobs. There's people that are having trouble at work. There's coworkers that you have trouble with. There's sometimes strife within this local body right here. We're a big family, right? Body of believers is a family, and sometimes families, sometimes we fuss and fight with each other a little bit. Sometimes we have wayward children that make our hearts sorrowful, and it's a mess. And we have to work through those things, and we have to go through those to get through on the other end. And we have problems with our finances sometimes. We have unsaved family members and friends. And all those things, we could go on, and you could tell me all about your messes. But we all have messes. There's messes in our lives. And people are hurting. But the truth is that we're all going to go through those types of things at some point or another. Maybe not specifically that, but something like that. If you're not in the middle of a mess right now, you probably just got out of one, or you're going to start one tomorrow. That's just life, isn't it? You will lose a loved one. I mean, it's just going to happen. You will know somebody, or you will yourself face cancer. You're going to have relationship troubles, whether it's with a spouse or a parent or a child or a friend. You're going to have those things. Let me tell you this. I have a page in the back of my Bible where I write little sayings, you know, like the little things that are on the bottom of the bulletin here, that the devil doesn't persecute those who aren't making a godly difference in the world. Little sayings like that. I have pages of them written down in the back of my Bible. And one of them that I wrote down years and years and years ago, but it is so true. It says, pain is inevitable during tragedy, but misery is optional. Pain's inevitable. We're going to hurt when we go through those messes, folks. But we don't have to be miserable. Right? We've got a God that's bigger than any mess that we're going to be in. And He can help see us through. The problem oftentimes is what we do. We say, I got this on my own. Don't we? You might be standing on the shore of your Red Sea. And you don't see anything but an impassable sea in front of you, and you've got danger behind you, and you don't know what to do. You can't see a way in or out. And I can tell you today that God is there with you. If you're a believer, God is there with you to see you through that mess. Now, that's easy for me to say, isn't it? Because I don't know what your mess is, and that's easy for someone to say, looking from the outside, that God will see you through it. Just hang tight. God's got your back, right? That's easy to say. It's hard to do sometimes. I had this spot that came up under my eye a couple months ago, and like most men, I ignored it, right? Don't we, guys? We don't need. So I had this little spot come up under, and it went away. And then it'd come back, and then it went away, and it'd come back. And we were, one day, a little tiny spot under my eye, and it started to bleed out of the spot. I said, ooh, no, now it's time to not ignore it anymore, right? And I went from not even being worried about it to someone called 911. Like, this was, like, I wanted everyone's lives stop around me. We got to figure out what this is. Right? I wanted everything to stop. Like, I had a mess. Right? And I wanted everything to stop and revolve around me right then. This was like on a Wednesday or Thursday or something. So I called the dermatologist. I've got to come today. Like, I'm on my way to your office. I'll be there, right? You're just going to work me in. I'll sit till midnight if I have to. Well, sir, he's not here today. Goodness gracious. So, okay, when will he be back? Next Thursday. Oh, you got to be kidding me. A week. So I send a picture of it to my brother. He sends me back a picture that he found, guess where? On the internet. Yep, it said, it's cancer. Yep, it's, here you go. And that's what the picture said, right? And it was identical. The picture he sent me back from some website was exactly what I had on my face. I said, oh, Lord, oh, what am I going to do now? So now I'm calling the doctor every day. Is there any cancellations? Any cancellations? I've got a mess, right? On my hands, I've got a mess. So I finally, Thursday rolls around. And I'm on my way to the doctor, and I'm thinking, you know what? I have not yet even brought God into this equation. A week goes by of me worrying, trying to fix it myself, wanting everyone else to stop and pay attention to me. What are we going to do? All that, and I didn't even bring God into the equation. So I get to the doctor, and it had been some time since I had been to the dermatologist. So he walks in, and you know what he says? I'm here about this thing on my eye that I think they're going to have to amputate my head or something. And he says, I'll be back in a minute. Get naked. There's a sheet. What? It was time for my annual head to toe. I'm like, this is why I'm here. No, we'll worry about that too, So I'm sitting there with, like, this covering me up. And I'm worried about my eye. He's not worried about my eye. Obviously, he wasn't too worried about my eye. We get through that. We get through the rest of the part. And he looks at my eye and he says, yep, looks like cancer to me. We'll go ahead and take a biopsy of it, which I think was about that big, the piece that he took off. We'll send it off to the pathologist, and I'll call you when the results come back. Okay, good. I'm thinking he'll call me in the morning. I call back in the morning because he hadn't called me. Oh, they said, well, it'll be about 10 days. 10 days. I can't make it 10 days. Well, I did make it 10 days. God was able to calm my nerves and just, really, I just was able to almost forget about it by the time the pathology report came back. Either that or I just resigned to the fact that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And it came back normal. And he was sure that it was cancer, but it came back normal. And he burned it, the rest of it there, and it's all gone. There's nothing there. Like, it's gone. But my mess was a big deal to me at that time. That was everything. I wanted the world to stop turning because of my mess. And you're that way, too. When you're in the middle of your mess, you want everything else to stop, don't you? You just want something to be able to comfort you. But you know, God has the ability to pick up all of the jumbled pieces of our mess and turn it into something beautiful. He will pick up those things that we just think is just a disaster, and he can turn it into something beautiful. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to give you a little illustration. You know, boats don't generally sink because of the water that they're floating on, do they? How does a boat sink? When water gets in it, right? That's what, the boat doesn't sink because it's sitting on water. It sinks when the water gets inside of it. As Christians, we can do pretty good when we keep ourselves separate from the world. You know where I'm going with this? But when the world gets in our boat, that's when we have a tendency to sink. But God has the ability to calm those seas, doesn't he? He can calm those seas, and he can calm our mess. Right? Look at 2 Corinthians with me, chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. What does it say here? And the God of all comfort. Verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted by God. I love that verse. There is so much wrapped up in those two little verses right there. Verse 3 says, God will comfort us. Now, do you believe your Bible? I mean, you believe it for salvation, don't you? You believe in Romans where it tells you how to be saved. But sometimes we'll take verses like this where it says God is the God of all comfort. And we say, yeah, but when it's a real big problem, I just don't know. But we believe our Bible in most things, but sometimes we want to cherry pick what we want to believe. Look, if you believe your Bible, you believe it, right? It says that he's the God of all comfort. Now, that's hard to do sometimes. That tests our faith, doesn't it? Verse 3 says that we're going to be able to, verse 4 says we're going to be able to comfort those who are going through tribulations and trials just like we were comforted. And so you can take this verse and you can see how God can take our mess and turn it into our message. Now, we want that to happen just like that, don't we? We want our mess to be over with just like that. But that word, message, age is a measure of time, isn't it? I am 23 years old. Not quite. But age is a measure of time. And God, in his time, can take our mess and turn it into our message. But it's going to be in his time, folks. Whatever you're struggling with right now, you want it to be over with. You want it to be done. You want to be moved past it already. Now, I get it. I do too. I wanted my last mess to be over with. But it wasn't in my time. It was his time. We're able to comfort those that are going through things. When was the last time that you had the opportunity to say to somebody, you know, when I went through that, da, 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 da. You do, don't you? You get to tell people that. Well, you wouldn't if you didn't get to go through that mess yourself. And what a blessing it is to be a comfort to somebody else. That's one of the things that we as Christians get to do for each other is we get to comfort each other. When we're going through difficulties and trials, we get to comfort each other. And God will turn your mess into a message. Flip back to 1 Corinthians, just one book, but go to chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's interesting how we take words that we really think that we know what they mean, but if you just let Scripture define Scripture, sometimes you see a new meaning to a word that will help you through something. So chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, look at verse number 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Now when we think of the word tempt, what do we think of someone being tempted by, we say tempted by the devil, right? Someone was tempted by the devil. What does that mean? That they were enticed to do something wrong, right? Or they were drawn into some evil place or some evil situation, right? They were tempted, right? We use that word. That's how we always use that word, right? Tempted like that. But look at that verse, though. Look at what it says. It's talking about Jesus, right? Neither let us tempt Christ. So are we going to be able to entice Jesus to do something that's evil or to be drawn into? That doesn't even make sense, does it? So when you take that word tempt and you look at it in other places in Scripture, That word tempt, more times than not in the Bible, the word tempt means tried or trial or to try. So let's look at that verse in the context of being tried. So neither let us try Christ. We don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're trying Christ's patience, where we're trying Christ's grace, where we're trying Christ's mercy, right? Tempt oftentimes means tried or try. Let's read on. Neither murmur ye, verse 10, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world came. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now let's look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God is not going to put you through a trial. He is not going to try you any more than what you can bear. You say, I don't know about that. I have been through some stuff. Well, I think it's important to note here that God is not going to put you through a trial or a situation that's more than you can bear without His help. Without His help, folks, we try to do everything on our own. And guys, we're guilty of this, ain't we? We're the world's worst at trying to tackle problems all on our own. Why? Because we're tough, right? I just had this thought. There was a little young boy that was all in a suit, and he looked so good. Like, he had him a little briefcase. I said, are you preaching this morning? It was awesome. I loved it. I shook his hand. I said, you must be preaching this morning. He had a big old grin about that big on his face. But guys, don't we want to be strong about everything. We want to tackle everything on our own. We want to take care of it. I don't need any help. And then when it gets to the bottom of the barrel and we realize that we cannot fix it on our own, oh God, that's when we call out, right? What are we thinking? What was I thinking with my eye, right? Why do we wait until we get to the bottom, to the end of our rope, and we're just hanging there at the end of our rope and there's no more knots? And then we holler out and cry out to God. God is right there with us the whole time, the Spirit of God living inside of you, just waiting for you to reach out and say, please help me. Help me through this. Lord, how can we get through this together? God's just, parents, if your children need help, don't it feel good when they come to you and say, hey, can you help me with this? Unless it's homework, then I'm like, you got to do your homework on your own, right? Am I right? You got to do your homework on your own. Try it first on your own. I'll help you if it's too tough, right? But we should look to God to start with, right? He wants to take that mess and turn it into our message. But sometimes we put handcuffs on Him because we don't even call on Him. We wait till we're at the end of our rope. I got no more knots left in my rope, and now all of a sudden I'm going to call on God. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Look, there is nothing that you're going to face. Listen to me now, that somebody else hasn't already gone through. It says that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Now, the details of your circumstance may be a little different, but the generality of it is somebody's already gone through it. Probably somebody in here, probably somebody in your church family has already gone through what you're going through. And boy, what a comfort they could be to you knowing that they already made it through on the other side, that it's going to be okay. You know some folks right now that are going through some things that you have already gone through. Have you gone to them and offered to be a comfort to them? Have you gone to them and said, look, I know what you're going through. We've been praying for you. Did you know that I went through the very same thing? And I know that my words aren't going to fix anything, but I want you to know that I'm here for you. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to sit with you. I'd like to talk to you. Let's go get a cup of coffee. Because I've been where you are. I have walked in your shoes. And boy, that's comforting when you know you're not alone, when someone else has already gone through what you have gone through. Look over to James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. In verse number 2, James writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, trials." Verse 3, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Hey, folks, this message that God is building inside of you from your mess may not happen overnight. And the length of time that you're in that mess may be part of your message. Right? The longer that it takes for you to come through that storm, that may be part of your message. But that's hard. And that requires a tremendous amount of faith that God is going to see us through. But doesn't He always? Doesn't He always? I mean, we question Him. If you've never questioned God in the middle of a tragedy, you're probably telling a lie. Right? Don't we all sometimes do that? Our faith goes like this a little bit, doesn't it? That's why I'm glad my salvation is not based on my faith, but on the faith of Jesus. Because mine goes like this. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and some of y'all, when you were in the car out in the parking lot on the way here with the kids, be quiet, come on, buckle up, get in the car, come on, we got to go. Wipe your face. Did you brush your teeth? You get out of the car. Come on, let's go to church, come on, right? That's what we do sometimes. Because we're like this, right? We're people, we're human beings, and we do like this. In our faith, it's tough sometimes to know that God's going to bring us all the way through. But time and time again, He does. In your life, in the lives of the people around you, time and time and time again, God shows up. We heard a testimony in men's prayer time this morning about a gentleman who needed to get some health insurance to take care of, y'all know who I'm talking about, needed to get some health insurance to take care of a medical problem, and God showed up and took care of it. He just shows up in His time, though. We sit here and worry and fret, and we worry and fret, and then God shows up in His time. But folks, that's the part that is hard for us. That's what requires us to have faith in our big God, is that we want it to be solved right now. But it's not now. It's His time. It's mess age. It's the mess is going to be cleaned up in time, but it's His time. And folks, that requires a tremendous amount of faith. And I get it. And I'm not here telling you that this is easy, because it's not. It's hard. But you're a family. And when one of you is struggling, all of you are to dive in and help out. And there's people struggling in this church right now. And those of you that have been through those things, reach out and put your arms around them. God's right there. Reach out, put your arms around them and say, "I'm here for you. Let's go through this thing together." It requires faith. We won't turn there, but the story of the prodigal son. Now, how long, we don't know. But how long did that father sit on that front porch in his father rocking chair and wait for the wayward son to come home? From the day he left. We don't know how long it was. I don't know. I think probably years. The time it takes to travel, they went to a far off land, he spent all his money, he lived in the fields, ate with the pigs, finally came to himself. And when he came to himself, he went back to his father's house. And the Bible says, "But when yet he was a great way off, his father saw him." I just think about that. I think the father's sitting there on the front porch in his rocking chair, just waiting, people say all the time to him, he's not coming back. No, my God is faithful. And he's just waiting. And he's just sitting in the rocking chair. Just waiting. I know today's the day. Today wasn't the day. The next day. The next day. The next day. He had a mess on his hands. But now he has a message on how God saved his son and brought him back. Now he has a message, but it wasn't in the Father's time. It was in God's time. And if you don't get anything out of what I'm saying this morning, let it be that our mess is not going to be solved in our time. That it's going to be in his time. There's another broken vessel that you know that might need to hear that you have gone through a mess and came out on the other side. Look, folks, when people are hurting, you know what they need. Look, we're all in this. We get up and we put our pants on the same way every day, don't we? I mean, we're all the same. And when one of us is hurting, we know what they need. We can't fix it. But when someone is going through a mess, there's things that you can do to help that person, not fix their mess, but help them through their mess, right? Someone loses a loved one. What do they need? They need food. They need their grass cut. They need to be taken places. Don't go. I was in a class one time when I was in college. It was called Grief and Counseling. And one of the thing that, this is what I took away from my college degree. This is pretty bad, right? This one thing I got out of college. It's a good thing, but it's one thing. When people are going through something, you know what they need. Just do it. Just do it. You don't have to ask. When people say, hey, and I'm guilty of this, so if you've said this and you have, but you'll think about it. Now, next time you'll think, when you say it, you're going to think about this right here. Hey, if you need anything, call me. No, I know you already need something. I know you need to eat. I know you need your grass cut. I know you need to be taken places. I know you need a shoulder to cry on. I know you need to pray. Right? I know what you need. Let's just do it. Right? Don't wait for someone to tell you what they need when you already know what they need. Just do it. Hey, someone's in a mess. Help them through their mess. Right? Casey was a baby. She's eight. She turned 18 a few weeks ago. Lord, help me. She was a baby. And I was volunteering at Millbrook Fire Department. And there was a family that we used to go to all the time. And the gentleman was in a wheelchair, and he would fall out of his wheelchair. And we would have to just go pick him up. He wasn't hurt, but he was just a big man, and she couldn't get him up off the floor. So we'd go pick him up, put him back in his wheelchair, and she'd send us back to the fire station with a cake or a bag of fruit or something like that. And this got to be a pretty regular occasion. And so as a volunteer, I was getting up out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning every time this happened. And it happened pretty regular. So this was going on once or twice a week. And it's fine. We were glad to help. And then one day he passed away. She didn't have any children. Didn't have any family. No relatives anywhere in Alabama. So what does she need? I already know what she needs. We need to do whatever he was doing. That's what she needs. So we went over and cut the grass. She was gone when it happened. We went over and cut the grass. This has been 18 years ago. We went back and another week or two later, grass needed to be cut again, so we cut the grass. She wasn't there again. Maybe the third or fourth time we went to cut the grass, she was there. 18 years later, we're still cutting her grass. I grew up without a mom. I was adopted by my dad when I was 5 years old. So we don't have any family on my side, really. My dad passed away in 2013. But my kids don't really have a granny on my side. So she's like their granny. That was a mess for her. And we just went and cut the grass. I mean, it wasn't hard. But 18 years later, we're still taking care of her. My wife cooks almost all her meals, takes her to her doctor's appointments. Every Saturday morning, Me and the boys are there cutting grass. Take care of the house. Take care. We just take care of things. So she had a mess, and we just helped her through her mess. And she has a message now. What do you think that when she tells people about what we've been able to do for her for the past 18 years, who do you think gets the glory? If she was here right now, she's in a wheelchair now, and if she rolled through that back door, she would say, I am so blessed that God brought you into my life. God gets the glory out of that, folks. When someone needs help, you just go help them. That's what we do as Christians. Charity is God is love with some feet to it, right? I like the King James Bible uses the word charity. And that's love with some feet to it, right? A lost person can love somebody. They can say they can love a spouse, but charity is love with some feet to it. There's something behind that, and God's what's behind it. It's godly love. So where are you right now? I don't know where you are. Maybe your mess is yet to come, folks. Maybe yours is on the horizon. Maybe it's just right over there. And the next time I see you, you're in the middle of it. Messes happen, don't they? I mean, we can't avoid them. They're there. Maybe you're in the middle of a mess right now. You say, Jamie, I got a mess on my hands. And I don't know how we're going to get through it. I don't know how you're going to get through it, but I know you are. I know God will get you through it. How that is, I don't know. But I know he's faithful to his children. Those of you that are parents in here, there's nothing you wouldn't do to get your children through their mess. Now, I know sometimes we got to let them learn a little lesson every now and then, but generally speaking, you're going to rescue them from whatever it is that mess they're in, right? God's going to do the same thing for you. So maybe you're in your mess right now. Maybe you've already gone through your mess. Maybe your mess is behind you. And you thought that you were never going to get through, and here you are. Back there, the clouds, the rain, the storms, but today it's sunny. Those folks on the East Coast, they got a mess. And some of them right now are thinking, we're not going to get through this. After Katrina hit New Orleans, I went down there about a week afterwards. I went down with a little medical mission, and we set up camp at a church in Pass Christian, and we went down into New Orleans, or I think we went down into Bay St. Louis is where we went down to. And there was no road signs. There was nothing. It was just jumbled mess. I mean, it was sticks that used to be houses. It was mangled trees, cars on top of trees. There was nothing. There was you had no idea where you were. We put the GPS to be at our base camp that said we made that be home, and we just drove. And at the end of the day, we said, take us home, because we had no idea where we were. We could have been in Texas for all I knew. Those people had a mess. A lot of them are come through now. Those people on the East Coast, they got a mess, and they don't think they're going to get through. Some of them don't think there's a way to get out of this. But God can get us through anything. Amen. The part that's hard is us believing that. Believing that God's going to get us through. So you got your message. God has brought you through your mess, and you've got your message now. What are you doing with it? Are you looking for an opportunity to comfort someone? Is there someone right here in this church that needs to be comforted? Is there someone that you work with that needs to be comforted? Is there, young folks, is there someone at school that needs to be comforted? Our young folks face things that we couldn't even imagine when we were their age. And they need, and so young folks, your friends need comforting from time to time. Maybe you've gone through the mess and you can share your message with them. As I'm talking about this, who's on your mind that needs to be comforted? Is there someone that's coming to mind that when we get out of here, when you get in the car, you should pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. Maybe next week, can we grab a cup of coffee? Or you remember when I went through, you remember when I lost my dad? I know you just lost yours, and so I know how you're feeling. And while it doesn't get any better, it does get easier. So there's someone maybe on your mind right now. Don't let time pass by without you picking up the phone and calling them. God's put you through. Wouldn't it be a shame that we go through a mess and then get no benefit out of it on the backside? Hey, at least if you got to go through a mess, how about take that and turn it into a message? Don't let your suffering, your tragedy, your sorrow be something that won't help somebody else, because it can. See, what you've gone through can be a help to somebody else. But now that's on you. When you're in the middle of your mess, you got to embrace the suffering. Because that suffering is going to take your mess into a message. I don't know where you are today. God does. Maybe the folks around you do. But you're either about to go into a mess, you're in the middle of a mess, or your mess is behind you. So where are you this morning, and what is it that you need? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No looking around. I don't know what's going on in your lives, folks. I don't have any idea. I wish I did. Because maybe I could be a comfort to you. But y'all are family. Y'all know each other. Y'all know what each other's struggles are. And because of that, you know what maybe someone sitting next to you needs. You know somebody in your life that is going through a mess. And they need to hear your message. Maybe it's you that's going through the mess. And maybe you need comforting from someone else. Maybe you need to be reminded that God is amazing. Our God is awesome. And He's able to bring you through that mess. He's able to bring you through something that you can't even imagine you can get through. But folks, that requires faith bigger than sometimes we think we even have. Truth is, God's probably already bringing you through. Is there anybody that needs to do business with the Lord this morning? Anybody that says, hey, I'm in a mess and I just want you to pray for me. I'm not going to call you out, but I do want to pray for you. Anybody that's in a mess this morning that says, please just pray for me. I've got a mess on my hands. Maybe you know somebody that's got a mess on their hands and I want to pray for them. I don't know their names, but God does. I see you. Thank you. I'm going to close in prayer, and I want to pray for those hands that went up. If there's somebody here that needs a hug, that needs some comforting, that needs the love of another Christian, seek them out. Help them through their mess. Be what God would have you to be, and that's a comforter. to those who need comfort. We don't get this out those doors. The lost and dying world doesn't care about comforting each other. But that's one of the great things about being a child of God, is that we can have comfort from one another. Lord, I sure do love you, God, and I thank you for this day, Lord. I'm thankful for this group of souls, Lord, that you've got in this place, and the sweet, sweet spirit that they have. But God, I'm not naive enough to know that there's not some messes behind those sweet spirits. Lord, I pray that you just put your arms around them, your loving arms. Just hug them tight the way that nobody else can. And God, if there's somebody that's struggling, that those around them, that they would reach out and put their arms around them and do those things that they already know needed to be done in order to comfort them. Lord, we want you to have praise and glory for everything that's said and done here today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.